If you would like to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we will read the first 11 verses, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 11. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than this is laid, which is Jesus Christ, thus far. And the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His own holy and infallible word. Congregation, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul speaks here of babes in verses 1 and 2, he's speaking of a spiritual condition. He's not speaking about infants by nature. He's speaking to a church that, by and large, had an immature element in them. And it's amazing, or it should be amazing to us, that though the church of Corinth had sat under three of the most powerful and spirit-led men of that generation, that despite that, he refers to them as babes. We would think that a congregation that had sat under the influence of powerful preaching, of Spirit-anointed preaching, that these would be a gathering of people who would be strong in the Lord and who would be advanced in spiritual years. But that's not the case. And so in the first two verses, there's something of a note of disappointment in Paul's words. There's a minor note of sadness. He encourages them later on in chapter 13 from his own experience when he says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And this was his way of trying to draw them on into Christian maturity. And in our text, Paul uses two words that probably struck the heart of the church of Corinth. Two words that probably pricked them to the heart. The first word was babes. And the second word was carnal. We would think perhaps Paul might have said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto immature, even babes in Christ." But the word that he chose by the Spirit's leading was the word carnal. And if the proper order of growth in grace, if we look at the writings of John and the writings of Paul, if the typical order of growth in grace is children, I mean, are babes, children, young men, and fathers, then what comes before babes? Only one thing, and that is being carnal, in the flesh. That's what comes before a babe in Christ, that they are in the flesh. They are still in an unconverted state. And so Paul is making a distinction here. He's saying that many of them have entered into the kingdom by faith, but were at their present state and in their present condition only one step above carnal. They were only one step above a lost condition. This is not saying that they were not precious to Christ. Absolutely, they are precious to Christ. He loves them. His Father loves them. That love is pure. It is true. It is full. It is without qualification. It is without exception. He loves the babes in Christ. The thought that the Father and Christ and the Holy Spirit have towards the babe in Christ is at its bottom absolutely no different than the thoughts that He has toward those who are the most advanced in Christ. He loves them the same. And so they are truly blessed. That means that something had happened, that the Holy Spirit had done a supernatural work, that they had been translated from darkness to light by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that in the condition that they are in now, that they have all of the inheritance of the sons of God, all the things that Christ had merited in His active and passive obedience through that imputation of His righteousness. There was nothing that they needed according to their salvation. They were saved. Everything that can be possessed by adoption has been possessed and belongs to these babes in Christ. But here was the problem of the Corinthian church. Having all of these things done by Christ as the free gift in salvation, having been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The problem was this: they didn't see it. They didn't know it. That all the things that pertained to their good were still hidden from view. And this was Paul's argument. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual." Paul is saying, "I wish I could speak to you as unto spiritual. That is my desire, to speak to you as unto spiritual. But now," he says, "you're not able. You can't handle what I actually want to give to you, and you cannot handle what you ought to be experiencing. You're not ready to hear it," is Paul's lament. And this morning, in light of the baptisms that we have witnessed and being reminded of being a babe or a child by nature, there is a unique touchstone when we look at these things in a spiritual sense. And that's what I want to look at this morning, babes in Christ. And we're going to look at three characteristics this morning. First, we're going to see that they are closest to carnal. Babes are closest to carnal. Secondly, they're precious to Christ. Even though they're closest to carnal, they're precious to Christ. And then lastly, needing babes food. Needing babes food. And it would be good for us, congregation, this morning, as we hear these things, is to shut out from our mind and the temptation of our heart to be thinking about someone else. Well, that, oh, what the minister is describing, oh, I think that brother so-and-so should be listening. Or this seems to apply to sister so-and-so. Resist the temptation this morning to think of anyone but yourself. So first this morning, babes in Christ, closest to carnal. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So that the context of the word used here is a spiritual context, not a natural context, a spiritual context. We're not speaking here of physical babes. We're speaking of a spiritual condition that Paul is identifying. We are speaking of the heart condition of the soul. And this, Paul describes as being an infant in the faith. Infant in the faith. Now, this is not speaking about ignorance in doctrine. That may be a part of this, but that is not what Paul is driving at here. Paul is not speaking here of doctrine. It's true that no one can advance in the household of faith. No one can grow up in the household of faith from babes to children to young men and then to fathers without doctrine. Doctrine is vital. Doctrine is so very important. But it's not doctrine alone that these babes in Christ were missing. What advances a soul in growth is the living out of that doctrine in experience. It's when things leave the theoretical and they enter into the very practical of everyday life in that spiritual sense. And how many are there that place so much confidence, so much trust in formulas and in creeds and in knowing certain ideas and doctrines and are still unconverted? Or at best, still babes in Christ. Much passes in our day as Christian maturity by cerebral understanding, by being able to quote certain authors, by knowing certain propositions of theology, or to be precise in doctrine, being able to split the hairs of theology, as it were. But that is not the thermometer of growth. Advancement in truth and in doctrine often accompanies it, but it is never the ground of this growth in grace. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. Ask yourself If you say that you are a believer, is my faith resting on the doctrine of justification by faith alone? Or is it resting on the person of Christ that justifies? You see, there's a difference. A doctrine has never saved the soul. But the person of Christ and the work of Christ has saved countless numbers. So there's a difference between knowing and understanding how things work theologically without ever having come face to face in that intimate way with Christ Himself. And so you find much thought in that. Is my faith and my trust placed in the doctrine of justification by faith alone, or is it in the Christ that justifies? Paul knew this. After many years of sitting at the greatest theologian probably in the land, at the feet of Gamaliel, and being fluent in all of the articles of the faith, one who was truly a master in Israel, one who many say, historically speaking, probably would have been chosen to be the successor of Gamaliel as the greatest scholar in the land. After all of Paul's knowledge, all of the groundwork that certainly helped him in his ministry, he is reduced to this devotional thought when he cries out, "Oh, that I might know Him." And so, congregation, advancement is not known by pure doctrinal knowledge. But it is a knowledge that is married to the heart. It is knowledge that comes and meshes with the true experience of the soul. That is where true spiritual growth takes place. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian church here, you in these things, you are still only infants. You are still those, after all of the powerful preaching you've heard, after all the doctrine you've been taught, you are still the closest to unsaved. You are still closest to carnal. They're still in the kingdom, but he's saying there has been no advancement. After all of this, I still have to teach you and talk to you as infants. And so the analogies of the Word of God are striking when you compare the natural babe, as we have even witnessed this morning, to the spiritual babe in Christ. And let's look at some of those striking analogies. First of all, here's one of the analogies. They do not know their father. They do not know their father. When a child is born, there is nothing that it knows how to do for itself. Every aspect of his dependence, of his existence, depends on his parents. And this, of course, is natural. We expect nothing else. This is a tender thing. It's a sweet thing. It's an endearing thing. To know that the child is loved, so helpless in themselves, so in their capacities, unable to do anything for themselves. It endears the child to the heart of the parent. It's one of the things that makes it so precious. When a babe cries in the middle of the night, the mother will hear and rise in the deadest of sleeps so that they may go to their child. And so in that sense, God also goes for His precious little ones. He watches over them. He cares for them. He gives them so many providential helps and guides them by His sovereign hand. And here is the thing. So often they don't know it. They don't see it. And one characteristic of a babe in Christ is, like a newborn child, they do not know that they're sons. They don't know it. They don't have the assurance that they are children of God. You know, you're able to hold your newborn baby. And what a blessing that is. This child is as much yours, as much loved as any other children that runs around your feet. These babes don't have a clear evidence, though, do they, of them belonging to you. They have grace, but it is in its action very weak. And so it is the case with the babes in Christ. There are more of this class, I think, in this class of believer in the household of faith than any other class of believer. Secondly, they do not love, though they are so deeply loved. They do not love, though they are so deeply loved. And that's one thing that we know about infants, isn't it? That an infant is much more loved than loving. And whatever that child is, we know that it receives more than it gives. And over again we are told to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And why is the word behold there? Behold what manner? Because we do not see it. You see, only growth in Christ changes this. You who are sitting here, if your father is still alive, you love your father more now than you did as a one-year-old or a two-year-old. Children, you love your father now more than you did a year ago. That's natural. A son or a daughter now in middle years loves his father more now than they did when they were 12 or 13. Because the more one grows, the more one appreciates, and the more one has reasons for affection, and therefore the more they love. And some will say, I have so little love for God. Sometimes I wonder if I have any love for Him at all. I wonder if my love is real, this small love that I'll call love for the moment, if it's actually genuine. I hardly know if I am His child. And they'll say, I am so close to carnal. And for so long they remain in this place of uncertainty. But love only comes with maturity. Love only comes with growth in grace. I have a vine outside of my study window, and that in the spring, when the snow has finally melted, I look at it as I walk up my steps and I say, "This vine looks dead. I wonder if this year it will actually grow." And then over time, as the season progresses, I watch it, and yes, it comes back to life, and it begins to bud and to spring up. And I wonder if this will be the same this year as it has been in the years past, that eventually it's going to come up the side of my study door, it's going to attach itself to the house, to the lattice work, and it's going to grow up the side of the house. At some point, usually midsummer, it reaches over and it attaches itself to the house, and then it begins to grow. And so it is that there is only an attachment and a growing sense of love to the Father when there is true heart spiritual growth. And when there is so little growth, is it any wonder that there is so little love? So loved, but loving so little. Do you see the analogy of babes in Christ? It's a sign of being an infant. Next, we can see this, that they can do nothing for themselves. You say, "Well, spiritually, Pastor, we do know this. We've been taught well. Of course we can do nothing." Jesus says in John 15, "Without me, ye can do nothing." That's true, but remember, Jesus also said in the same passage, "Abide in me, live in me, remain in me." In some stage of their experience, all Christians will feel their weakness. They will feel the fears. And that will happen time and again. It's not a one-time thing that you never revisit. No, these things happen throughout the Christian life and the Christian experience. But there must also be a desire for that advancement in Christ, not in self, but in Christ. And we have to be babes before we can be men. Just naturally speaking, we need to be able to roll, our children need to be able to roll over onto their back before they can begin to steady themselves to crawl. And they need to crawl before they can walk. And they need to walk before they can run. This is the natural progression. And so the very best things come in small beginnings. And we do not despise the day of small things. We do not despise the babe in grace. The greatest rivers that we have in North America, their headwaters begin as little streams. The mightiest trees that we have here in Ontario come from a marble-sized acorn. The kingdom of heaven in the heart, when the kingdom of heaven enters the heart, the Lord Jesus says it begins as the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed. But eventually it is to become the greatest tree in the garden. And so we must not despise the day of small things. We must take root downward before we can ever grow upward. These things are beautiful things pertaining to babes. But the difficulty enters when that is the condition and the state of their earthly existence from day one until they leave this earth. That there is never any gospel advancement in the other things that the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles through the Holy Spirit point out as Christ in them. And some little babes in Christ may say, I have made little or no progress, it seems. I have so many troubles, fears without, Paul says, fightings within. But remember, whatever makes one humble, whatever makes one dependent is good. That humility is the best of all graces. Without humility, there's no real progress, no true progress heavenward. But God's plan is that the believer's sanctification should continue to grow by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit to be no more children, but be ye men. And so a true believer is making progress to whom the Father becomes more and more precious as our estimation of Him rises, as our estimation of ourselves necessarily becomes lower. To the believer, Christ has become everything, and there's a growing understanding of constant need and dependence upon Him. And to realize that all of this comes from Him, it flows from Him. If we are guilty, then Christ has atoned. If we are vile, He is worthy. If we are nothing, He is all in all. And that He is so gracious to the needy and to the downcast and to the low, to that trembling babe. He loves the babes. But dear one, in Christ there are heights and depths and lengths and breadths and widths of mercy and knowledge of Christ that the babe will never taste, that they will never know if they remain infants in the faith. To be in Christ is heaven begun. But to grow in Christ is heaven enlarging in the heart. To be with Christ and like Christ is then a heaven completed. And that His mercies are shoreless and fathomless and eternal and unchangeable, and He must be discovered. And to discover, you must know. And to know, you must grow. Secondly, they are precious to Christ. They have small gifts, they have little grace, they take up a little space in the household of faith. But they're precious to Him. In appearance, they are small. In their temperament, they are demanding. And in conversation, they are weak. But they're still precious. They have some grace. They sigh and they cry because of sin. They pray and they strive for holiness. They mourn over their deficiencies and their weaknesses and their inconsistencies, and they are stripped of self-righteousness, and they have trusted alone in Jesus Christ. But they're babes even in this. And so they're in the vine, but they are not the most prominent branches. They are in that holy temple, the living temple, but they are not the largest and most polished stones. And it's wonderful to know that they are, yes, dear, very dear to the heart of Christ, and they are kept constantly under His eye, just as the parent is constantly watching over that infant. Listen to the caution of Christ. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And so we have to be very careful, congregation, in identifying the babes in grace. Be careful lest we despise one of these little ones. Do not despise their age, though poor or small or weak. Do not despise their gifts, though small and apparently of no real use. Because Jesus does not despise them. Or He never would have laid down His life for them. The Father of mercies does not despise them, or He would not have chosen them to life. He would not have put them among the children. And the Holy Spirit doesn't despise them, or He would not make them His temples and make His residence in their heart. And so we must be very careful that we do not despise one whom Jesus loves, or one whom the Father has chosen, or in one in whom the Spirit sanctifies and dwells. That was Corinthians, Church of Corinth's problem, is that they were despising each other. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Division throughout the church. And Paul is saying, you're all being babies. You're all babes in Christ, if this is your mentality. You're all babes in Christ. He was saying it's like a baby calling another baby a baby. You've seen that. An 18-month-old toddler looks at a brand new infant and says, baby, baby, when they themselves are still babies. That's what Paul is speaking here. Your actions, your motives, the way you're looking at each other is infantile. See then, notice Jesus takes of His little ones. They're dear to His heart. They're always under His eye. He gives a charge concerning them. He cares so deeply for them. Lastly, they need babes' food. Paul says here, I wanted to speak to you. I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. These babes in Christ cannot handle meat. What is the meat? The meat that Paul is talking about here is not the hypostatic union of Christ's two natures. It's not the complexity and the simplicity of the divine Trinity. He's speaking here about deeper experimental or experiential truths. The infant needs to be fed still with the pure milk of the Word. Well, this is good, because without that, a baby would starve. Care has to be taken that they get plenty of rest, that they're not pressed into service for which they are utterly unfit. And this is brought out wonderfully in Isaiah 40, verse 11, where we look at the good shepherd carrying the lambs in his arms. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And this is a wonderful lesson for any under-shepherd, to deal with the little ones, the babes in grace, as babes, and to nourish them and to cherish them. But there comes a time that we outgrow the need for nursing. And it's just as harmful for those reaching the age of adolescence to be treated as though they were still in need of nursing. And this is Paul's lament. All this time I've only been able to nurse you. And it should not be the case. During the first few months of our earthly existence, we are entirely dependent upon the strength of others, especially our mother, being incapable of doing anything ourselves. Even when we're learning to walk, there needs to be someone else's hand to support us. But it would be a very sad sight if we were to still see that that is the case even today. It's sad, we say, when a boy who's in his middle teen years or late teen years is still tied to his mother's apron strings. We say that's an unhealthy relationship. And yet, is it not equally sad for those who have been Christians so many years and who have been tied to the words and the experiences of others, that they find it very hard to really say anything of their own experiences? They find it almost impossible to speak of their own heart. And yet how often we witness this very thing, that there's a certain class who seems to be afraid, or at any rate unwilling, to search the Scriptures for themselves. And you know, often it's the preacher that is to be blamed. It's true that he is their teacher, and as his teacher should possess a wider and deeper knowledge of spiritual things than they have, and yet it's not his duty to nurse them in this all of their lives. There is so much more to be experienced in Christ than just the fundamentals, which are so important and must be revisited time and time again. But there is a whole life of things that are found in the finished work of Jesus Christ that pertain to the life of sanctification in Him that so many never experience because they never come out of that spiritual infancy that they entered into so many years ago. And sooner or later, there comes a time in the lives of most true believers when those words from Isaiah 22 come to their heart: "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils." And to have that applied to their own heart by divine power. And this will not mean that they now refuse to hear God's servants or refuse to read the writings of our forefathers, but they will no longer place the same blind confidence in their teachers as they once did. They're not going to live their life out of someone else's help and someone else's experience. It is going to begin to grow in them in their own personal way with the Lord. What happens? They begin to let go of the hands and begin to walk by the power of the Spirit, but they themselves. And some, maybe this morning, will say this. But to be carried by Christ is such a wonderful thing. Oh, to be a babe in Christ and just live my whole life as a babe in Christ, where He does all and where I do nothing. And it's such a tender place and a sweet place to be. To need Him more, to depend on Him more. That is a beautiful place to be. But it is not the only place that Christ wants His people. At some point it becomes unnatural for the true child of God. Then it becomes cumbersome. And there is then no act of love to the Father. It's always a receiving and never a giving of love. It's always me, me, just like a little infant, me, me. And it's never giving forth. No adult today says in relationship to their mother, "Oh, I long for the days when I used to suck on the breast." No, because with growth in grace comes reciprocal love. Love giving and love receiving that an infant, a babe in grace, never experiences. Never knows. To remain a baby all your life would be to stop the order of nature. And to remain a babe in grace your whole life is to stop the order of God's own spiritual nature. What does it mean? If all remain babes, there would be no growth. There would be no advancement. There would be no meat. There would be no teachers. There would be no evangelism. There would be no missions. There would be no light upon a hillside. There would be no office bearers. There would be no ministers, no elders, no deacons. The church would be one giant nursery. And it would become the death of the church. Everyone who is born of God must first be a babe. But to remain such is displeasing to Him. And finally, growth in grace promotes their own well-being. As good health is a source of joy and makes for thriving children in a home, so growth in grace promotes spiritual joy in the heart. The love of Christ burning in the hearts of His people. The light of His countenance enlightening their minds. And their strength devoted to the promotion of His glory. Inwardly, outwardly. The desire to see others converted to Him. But the more they become in form and substance, the more they are like Christ in this world, and the more they do and suffer for His glory, the more they will enjoy His presence and His love. And the reward is of grace, it's not of merit. But it will be in proportion to the service that is rendered to the divine master, who Paul says is not unrighteous to forget our work of faith and labor of love. Are you grieving this morning because you are so weak? Because your faith is so small? Because your love is so faint? You're a babe then in Christ. Only grace itself can grieve the heart. Only grace can grieve that there's not more grace. But I need to remind you of a few things before we end. That the babe in Christ, that you have the things that the most advanced in Christ have. As a present possession, you have it. You are then... If I have described you at all this morning, you are then a blood-bought of Christ. You are as adopted of the Father as the most advanced in Christian years. But you are as much a child of God as your siblings in grace. You are as justified as any other. Justification does not come by degrees or levels. And you have as much right to the precious things of God as the most advanced believer. But you don't see it. Your access to these things does not lie in your growth, but they lie in Christ. You are as reconciled to the Father as Paul, though you perhaps do not know the Father as you should. That all things are yours, though as an infant you don't know the estate that belongs to your peace. In the family book of life, the youngest and the oldest, dear one, are written by the same hand in blood-dipped ink. You are as dear to your Father's heart as any in the family of God. This means that Christ is very concerned about you, and that He calls you this morning to grow in grace. For those things to be possessed and experienced that are beyond the uncertainty and feelings of our faith as infants in Christ. He watches over you like the smoking flax. Someone else would say, just snuff it out. It's filling the air with this smoke. Put it out. But He will not quench you. You're like the bruised reed that the musician would look at and toss away and say, it's worthless. Snap it and throw it into the fire. But He will not break you. But dear one, I want to encourage you this morning. Instead of being depressed for what you are not, take delight in what you are in Christ. You say, I am the least of the tribes of Israel and the least in my father's house. Yet in Christ I am made to sit with Him in heavenly places. Am I poor in faith? Despite that, in Christ I am the heir of all things. You see, all of these things belong to the babe in Christ. But know this, dear one. It is not the Lord's pleasure that you remain a babe your whole life. To seek and to ask the Lord, ask God the Holy Spirit, wilt thou cause me, though pain may come and difficulty and all of the hardships of and joys of growing in grace, Lord, wilt thou implement them? Make me to see my dependence and my need. But Lord, also that joined with that I may desire to become more than what I am to Thy glory and for Thy grace. Peter said this, and I'll end with this text. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen.